everyone. Welcome to another episode of Life Chat with Viv and Phil. Vilma and I so appreciate you joining us today. And Vilma, so what's been going on with you lately?
I am trying to get ready for when school reopens, and unfortunately or fortunately, I'm going to be at home again because I don't think we are going to be having any face-to-face classes. What about you? Have you taken any break, any vacation, anything like that? What's going on?
Well, we were supposed to be in Hawaii this week, but because of Corona, we are stuck home. So I just basically brought the kids to Bethany Beach. As a matter of fact, we just came back today, just in time for me to jump on and do what we got to do for this show today, which I am so excited about. Today's show, like I just said, I'm really exciting. It's going to be, well, four amazing pastors that is on with us today. And we have with us Pastor Anthony Seaton. And this pastor, Vilma, I think I shared with you earlier, but I'm going to share with our audience that this pastor's been the one that given me such a base foundation, biblical foundation in me. I know him from I was 14 years old. He was my pastor in New York. And he's one that even my father had to say to him at my wedding, thank you for help raising her because you've done a good job. That's what my father said. So I'm just giving honor where honor's due. Thank you, Pastor Anthony, for being such a great influence in my life. I really love and appreciate you. And then we have Wayne Rudd, which is a dear friend of mine. His wife and I love them dearly. And I so appreciate you for being on. And the third person is my cousin, who is Pastor William Archer. I'm hesitating, guys, because these are people that I know personally, so I'm just trying to be good with this. Will Archer, my cousin that I love dearly, and we're supposed to have a fourth minister. I'm not sure if he's on yet, but we will wait to see if we can get him on. So let's jump right in, and I want you guys today to introduce yourselves to our audience. Tell us where you're from, the name of your church, and how long you've been pastoring or ministering. Who wants to start?
Pastor Anthony.
Okay, I am Pastor Anthony, and I am from Long Island, New York, originally from Trinidad, and came to the United States in 1970. In 77. Started pastoring and came to know the Lord in 1975, basically in college. I was fortunate enough to be introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. This was in West Virginia, came down to New York. My family, of course, came back to New York and got involved with ministry there, with the church. And thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ, I've never looked back, just continuing in sharing the good news. And this is how I met Vivlin many, many years ago. And she was a young lady and part of our ministry and has grown up to be a tremendous disciple in the Lord Jesus Christ and is moving forward. And so we just continue to share the gospel and to bring the good news to as many as would hear. And we are big on foundation. We do try to develop and build the foundation, and many people have come through our ministry. They have had some kind of foundation built. God has moved them on to different facets of ministry and life. And I appreciate you asking me to be part of this panel here, this group. I count it an honor, and I say thank you again.
Oh, awesome. So excited when you told me you were going to come on.
I'm Bishop Wayne Rudd. I am the senior pastor of New Redeeming Grace Worldwide Ministries here in the city of Newark, Delaware, situated on the campus of the University of Delaware. My mother started our ministry over 30 years ago, and 4 years ago, she handed it down to me. She's now in her 80s, and my ministry does specialize in people that the world and the church has actually thrown away and have been given much peace to. I've come out of addiction and different things, and so I have a great grace for souls. I have a great, great patient level for people coming that need deliverances and salvation. And so that's my field of expertise in ministry. It's just long suffering and suffering with the people. So I believe in no man left behind. And so, the Lord, he died for the whole entire world. And if I'm trying to get everybody I can to come to the fold of Jesus Christ and to really know him, not just a surface salvation, but really get them into the deeper things of God. And that's just where I am. And I'm so honored, Vivian, that you've asked me to come on today to be a part of your discussion, mm-hmm. the panel. And I greet everybody on the panel. I do not know anyone, but God bless every one of you in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you.
Will?
Absolutely. So my name's Will Archer, and I'm really grateful just to be able to be with all of you. I'm the pastor with Potomac Valley Church. We're in the Northern Virginia suburbs, just about 20 miles outside of Washington, D.C., and super grateful that my cousin Viv would invite me to be part of conversation with all of you and for your incredible impact and investment in her life and therefore in our family. I've been serving as a pastor for 23 years, and I've served in 7 different North American churches, spanning from the Bahamas to Atlanta, Philadelphia, to New York, to various congregations throughout Georgia and now here in Virginia. And so I'm definitely very, very grateful for the opportunity to be a part of this conversation, and definitely send my greetings to this distinguished panel that we could be a part of a constructive conversation to really move things forward.
Amen.
Awesome. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Okay, let's jump right in with the questions, Vilma. What do you think?
I just can't wait to hear the answers that they will give to what we are asking. And I'm just fascinated already, because I've been jotting down some notes here, and I see where Pastor Seton, 2 years after he got saved, he started pastoring. Am I right?
Well, I started in ministry 2 years later, yes, but we really started pastoring in 78.
Okay, so extra year, 3 years. That is exciting, because it tells me, you know, how fervent you saw the calling, the mission as a servant of God to go out there. You didn't waste time. You hit the ground running. And Bishop Wayne, you look like 16, and you have been pastoring 23 years. No, Pastor Will Archer.
Yes.
Thank you. You're very kind.
Oh boy, that's amazing. And then Bishop Rudd, I know you have a lot to offer, you know, and can really identify with some of the people, you know, that you probably reach out to. And that's a great ministry, looking at where you came from and to be able to identify with people who may be struggling. Man, I can't wait. What do you want to ask, Vivian? What's the first question you have?
Okay, so let's jump right in. Now, Corona, we know this has been hitting America, throughout the world, throughout the nation. Now, what was the initial thoughts that you guys had, and what trials or hurdles did you have to overcome once this pandemic hit the U.S.?
Absolutely. Well, I don't mind jumping in right away just to answer mm-hmm. that question. Our congregation has a partnership relationship with our sister congregations in Indonesia. And every year I take a trip to Asia. And as it turned out this year, I was in Asia in February, and I was deeply concerned about the impact of the coronavirus. But at that point, when we were there, you know, I was concerned about the impact that it would have on Asia and the rest of the world. And I remember flying back through Japan, and the airport was empty. It's normally a bustling airport in Narita. Was empty. Everybody was asked. I was in a mess, but there wasn't a sense of urgency or sobriety, here in the U.S. And I honestly didn't have a sense that in February that the coronavirus would have such an impact. About a week mm-hmm. or two after getting back, we really intentionally engaged in preparing the church for a long, protracted effort with the coronavirus. And we have really great folks in the congregation that are good with disaster preparedness and good with response. But when I said long and protracted, I thought long and protracted might be 6 weeks or maybe mm-hmm. 10 weeks. And, you know, and so we, you know, we communicate that. I really am proud of the way that our church rallied and our leaders rallied. But we had no idea that we would be going into the months or that we would see over 150,000 lives lost to the coronavirus. I think this has been an incredibly sobering time. By God's mercy, mm-hmm. we haven't lost any of our members to corona, but a lot of our members have lost family members. So there's been a lot of family mm-hmm. members, and a number of our members right now have corona. We're actively praying for them. So I'll be honest. I was concerned about the coronavirus and its global impact. I had no sense of how significant the local and national impact would be. And it's definitely reshaped our lives in some pretty profound ways.
What about Bishop Rudd?
It's funny because, you know, I don't think anyone was prepared or pre-prepared for what was to come with this whole pandemic. I, like everybody else, kind of just stayed abreast of the news and how to handle things coming up. My main concern was getting not only directions from God, but really trying to stay within the laws of the land. Mm-hmm. And so in doing that, it was that decision before the Lord had already spoken to me and told me, given me instructions about what to do as far as the church is concerned. Because as a shepherd or under shepherd, as shepherds and pastors, our main concern is the safety of the people. And so mm-hmm. It's so funny. I had probably 98% good cooperation through the whole process of, you know, converting from real live in the church having services over to live streaming and Zoom and Facebook Live. However, I had some pushback from a couple people, you know, so I had to deal with that as well as a pastor, because everybody's not going to be on one accord with the leadership. Everybody's not going to agree, but I have to stay with the laws of the land and along with the Lord is telling us. So for me, the challenge more so after we decided what we were going to do was to teach everything online. I'll be honest with you. You know, it was a serious learning curve for me. I was a little nervous, you know, going this route, not knowing if the people would still follow as they would as they were in the church building. A lot of things were going through my head in preparations to move forward. But maybe I'm jumping the gun, but I will let you know that God has been with us the entire time. I'm telling you, I can keep going with that, but let me tell you, the preparation was a little, you know, because it's different. It's different. We have never seen anything like this before. So the whole preparation thing, everything was just a huge learning curve. I was born and raised mm-hmm. in the church, and I was saved at 8 years old. So I knew church. I knew, you know, how church as we had it. So to transform my mind over to what's going on, it was a process. But the Lord himself really, really took us through this process. And as this conversation progresses, I'll tell you more and more about, you know, some of the things that we have put in place and how well the church is doing, even in this.
Amen. Right. What about you, Pastor Seton?
Well, basically, before the pandemic really hit, the message or the emphasis that we had basically as a pastor, you know, was to get the people to recognize basically who we are in Christ, you know, and this goes back for some years now. That's, you know, what God was basically saying to us. So even though we had other things that were going on, the emphasis was basically on who we are in Christ. And I do believe that all of that was a preparation basically for what was coming, because I had no idea that this coronavirus was going to be as widespread as it really has been. You know, so my purpose you know, once it hit, once things began to happen, now we had to make adjustments. I'm basically a teacher. When I teach, a lot of times I use a chalkboard and stuff like that. You know, that's my method and my style of teaching. So when I had to actually switch to Zoom and stuff like that, it was a little uncomfortable. But nonetheless, you know, we had to adjust. And as we adjusted, I'm still trying to get a feel for the congregants themselves, because I think some people kind of somewhat enjoyed being home for a little while, you know, and away from the atmosphere of the church and everything like that. But, you know, we can only do that for so long. So I think some other people began to get restless, and some folks are still basically a little fearful, you know, as to what is going to happen and what has happened already. Some people are less cautious and seem to just, especially the young folks, they seem to actually be less threatened by what's going on in spite of anything that's shared. So we've learned to actually make adjustments, and we've been back at the building for a while now. I think it's about maybe 6 weeks or so. But we, you know, we were practicing, of course, social distancing, and there were a lot of folks who didn't come. Of course, we just shared whoever wanted to come back. You know, they were able to attend services. And then we had, you know, the sanctuary itself was big enough so that we could accommodate those who did come without actually violating, you know, just keeping in line with the laws that were really set by the state. So we've moved forward. Our last services, I think we had maybe about 20 or 30 people that came out in addition to the small group that was coming out. So, you know, we're adjusting and we're moving forward.
Good, good.
Awesome.
Yes, yes. As a follow-up, and some of you, Bishop Rudd, and you as well, Pastor Seaton, started to answer what is going to be our next question, was how did you keep your congregants engaged through the pandemic?
You want to go, Pastor Seaton?
We just did, again, we did Zoom, we did Facebook, we just shared along those lines. One good thing, I don't know if it's because the level of the people that were, I guess, maybe more seasoned in the Lord, they all kept in touch, and it was okay for us. We moved forward, and we haven't done anything differently. At one time, we were going to have our services in the parking lot, but we just felt, well, we just continue to Zoom and do Facebook and so on until basically this kind of let up and we were able to go back into the building. So when they had started the phase one, you know, again, because the building sanctuary was big enough for the amount of people who were coming out, it really wasn't a problem to us. We just practiced the social distancing. We used masks and, you know, did the sanitizing and everything that we could do to make sure that the folks were comfortable. And again, you know, I would attribute this to a lot of the folks, they stayed engaged basically with one another. And so that kind of took a lot of the burden off of myself also and some of the leadership in the church.
That's awesome. Pastor Rudd, would you like to go next?
Oh, if you want to go, I'll go last.
No, I insist. You please. I can go last.
Okay, well, what we did was we had a lot of mass communication going out with our congregation to keep everybody abreast and informed of all the changes that were happening and all the things that we were doing to stay connected. And for sure, I can tell you through Zoom, through Facebook Live and whatever other networks we were going through, we have been a very cohesive group, our church. As a matter of fact, we've had pretty good exponential growth, even out of the sanctuary, not going to a building. The growth has been exponential. People are really coming on for the word and not all of the church hoopla, for lack of a better word, you know, all the antics and it, all the stuff that come with being in a building. These people that are coming now are really, really hungry for the word of God. And this is what I'm seeing for our church. And the numbers have grown financially. We've done better since the doors have been closed. And I am telling you the honest to God's truth. We have not ever gone lacking in any area of our ministry. God has really been proving himself to us as a congregation and as a body of believers. Our church is more of a word of faith-based church. I follow the fathers of the faith, Kenneth Copeland, Bill Winston, that group of people. And this is what I do. I teach faith. And because of that, everything's been really, really, really good. Only I would be very transparent because that's who I am. The only couple people that dropped off were people that really wasn't rooted and grounded. And they were just kind of, you know, I'm coming for the music or I'm coming for whatever. But the masses and the bulk of the people have been right there. We have noonday prayer online every Tuesday. They've been right there. We have Bible study every Wednesday, midweek Bible study. Friday nights, I have a Faithful Friday teaching the fundamentals of faith every Friday. And we have Sunday morning. And the Lord has honored our obedience. And nothing lacking, nothing slacking. God has been true to his word and true to his promises to us.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that's so encouraging just to hear just all the ways that God's been moving. I know for us, you know, the coronavirus pandemic's really pushed us forward in some pretty dynamic ways as well. You know, we were engaging beforehand with live stream services along with our in-person services. But with Corona, you know, we haven't been able to meet physically since the middle of March. And we won't plan on physically meeting until the beginning of September. And we're still having varying degrees of challenges related to the coronavirus. But our online engagement has just been overwhelmingly inspiring to see what God's doing. You know, we've engaged on Instagram in ways that we haven't before, engaged on Facebook, on YouTube. You know, our media team there, I definitely want to really lift them up. They've really done a phenomenal job. And every month we're engaging with literally hundreds of thousands of people, which is just crazy. And also I've been really blown away by the generosity of the church. People have been, you know, very consistent in their giving, which was an early concern that our board had, kind of, you know, how is this going to all work out? But the giving's been consistent, which has been inspiring. But the level of engagement and us really being pushed to learn how to engage on different platforms and to different audiences, I think has been really one of the great blessings, if you will, one of the Corona miracles for us is mm-hmm. is just seeing how God's really pushed us there.
Wow. Amen. Amen. Beautiful. I have a follow-up question that just came to me, and we have this great engagement. We have multiple people who are coming on. Mm-hmm. Do you see an issue with discipling these people? Do you foresee a problem because these people come on? But what is the follow-through or follow-up with these individuals?
Yeah, Ms. Vilma, I think you're asking the big question that we're wrestling with as a group mm-hmm. Right now is, you know, how do you translate the numbers of people that are engaging into them being tied in small groups? Mm-hmm. What we've intentionally been doing is talking to all of our small groups. We're committed to being a church not with small groups, but a church of small groups. And so there are kind of three things that we talk about here in Potomac Valley, that we gather, that we serve, and that we multiply. And so we've been talking about, as it relates to multiplication, multiplying the number of small group leaders to ensure that people are really getting proper discipling and proper Christian formation. So that, I'll tell you, is the thing I'm the most focused on, because it's exciting to see people engaging, and it's exciting to see the people that have gotten baptized during Corona, the people that have, you know, decided to really be restored in their faith, people that have moved from other congregations, you know, to help build up the wall in this specific congregation. All those things are exciting. But the formation of those disciples and the strengthening of weak disciples. One other thing I just want to mention in this whole formation piece is Corona's really had a huge impact on marriages. There's a lot of strain in families. Mm. And, you know, with my work in Asia, you know, I was really paying close attention to how, you know, families were coming out of the coronavirus in Wuhan. And there was an explosion in divorces that happened in Wuhan. Wow. And in other countries. Wow. On the other side of the coronavirus, if you will. And so, you know, along with the formation of discipleship is also the health of the disciples that God's entrusted us with. So mm-hmm. I'll say that's my personal biggest concern, is that question. I appreciate you asking it.
You're welcome. Any other pastors want to jump in on that?
You can go ahead, Pastor Rod.
I've talked enough. You can go right on.
As far as discipleship is concerned, I know that's always a question in our hearts, you know, in our minds. We have people who come to the church or who get engaged one way or the other, and it's always a question, how do we disciple them? What I've found basically is because of the emphasis basically on the word, and those who get engaged, you know, even interacting with other small groups that we have, you know, whether it's a Bible study or just a prayer group or whatever other connections that we have, I find that folks that are serious, folks that are coming and they, you know, they're not just coming because, you know, because maybe they're just afraid, they don't know what to expect. You know, you have some folks like that, and I'm not saying that that's not a reason for folks to come. That is a reason for folks to come to the body of Christ or to the church or to listen in when we are sharing the good news of the gospel. But I find that people that are responding, there is more of a seriousness in a tone to them that they are actually interested in what's going on. Is it because they are fearful? Could be, you know, but it's, there seems to be more of a, as I said, a seriousness on their part in wanting to get connected. So I think that as far as the traditional way of really working with individuals to get them connected with the church or incorporated into the church, that has varied a little. But nonetheless, because folks are inquiring, you know, and they have concerns, and the message, as I said before the whole pandemic came about, the message that God seemed to be expressing on our hearts was basically to get the church and those that are coming into the church to recognize basically who we are in Christ. And with all of the stuff that's taking place, you know, of course, we have the situation with happened with Mr. Floyd, with the Black Lives Matter and all these different things that are going on. You know, there is basically a sense that the church has to be the one that would bring about the direction, the guidance, the answers that the world is waiting for. And I believe that's one of the reasons why, even before the pandemic came along, you know, God was constantly speaking to us about who we are in Christ, who we are in Christ, what we can do in Him, you know, what we are all about, how we can reach the world with the gospel of the kingdom. Because we know basically that the Lord says, when this gospel of the kingdom is preached to all the world, demonstrated to all the world, then the end shall come. And so what I saw, that the people who were even coming in, because they were tuning in and they were hearing, you know, they seemed to be a little more engaged and a little more sincere of wanting to learn and to know. For that reason, I think, though we don't have the personal contact, you know, I think people are still kind of getting engaged, and it's causing even our ability to really disciple them to be even a little less challenging.
Wow. I think all three of you guys mentioned, you know, possible fear. So when you are faced with individuals from your church or that might be fearful, what would you say to an individual, someone that's afraid of this thing of the pandemic, of Corona being closed in? I know, Will, you haven't opened your doors yet, but what would you say to someone that's fearful?
Yeah, I think empathy is the most important thing. When people are, you know, feeling fear, is I think you want to identify with where they are, identify with what they're going through, ask more one questions to get a sense of the context of where they're, you know, where they are based. We've dealt with, you know, lots of members that have struggled with fear, leaders that have struggled with fear. You know, I've had worked through my own fears and anxieties around these issues as well. But I think empathy is key. And then beyond empathy, I think, is really people back to God, the one to help them work through and walk through their fears. The truth is, for 150,000 people to die, you know, that's significant. That's transformative. For millions of people to have the coronavirus, for us to be in the middle of a social revolution, there are lots of things to fear, but I think we've got to empathize and then direct people to really put their trust in God.
Good.
I guess you would totally agree with Pastor Anthony Seton about knowing who you are in Christ, but I want you other two to answer that same question about how do you deal with those individuals that's fearful at this time?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, when we talk about fear, of course, fear basically, to me, is an absence of faith. And we have a lot of things that can bring to us causes to be fearful in life. Life in itself, you know, when we're not confident in God, when we're not sure of certain things, we're not sure of the future, you know, then we do become very, very fearful in situations. And I agree that empathy, because we've got to recognize basically where everyone is coming from. But I think also that, you know, the scripture tells us basically that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I think a lot of times when people are fearful is because they have not really heard or they're not hearing basically what God is really saying. And they don't have the confidence basically to know that what God is saying, that of course, he, you know, he's not a man that he should lie or the son of man that he should repent. But if he speaks something, then it will come to pass. So if we can get folks, again, centered upon the word of God and what he's saying, because what he says, he means. And if we can get better understanding, folks to understand basically what is actually happening within our world, and faith comes by hearing. So the more of God's word that we hear, the more confident we can become in knowing that, hey, maybe this is happening and that's happening. But, you know, I've heard from the word of God, and the word of God says, you know, though there's a plague, it will not come near my dwelling. You know, if I will put my confidence, my trust basically in the Lord, you know, again, to get, it's a process. And I can say that because, you know, of course, maybe because I'm a pastor, I've been in the word for a while, you know, I've been hearing and, you know, and faith has come and I have a certain measure of confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ because I've been walking with him for quite a while. So when situations like this come, I might be a little more prepared. So then the question is, how do I get those that are just coming or those that are not so well prepared, you know, to actually recognize that God is who he says he is and that he has everything under control. He may not be, you know, making everything happen because I don't believe that, but I know he has the overall control and his word is truth. His word, he will not lie. And no matter what happens, that if we would get folks to hold to that word and be confident and continue in it, because he says, if you would continue in my word, then are you really my disciple? You would know the truth. And of course, the truth that you know is that is what is going to set you free. So that freedom comes basically because of what we hear. And we are going to get folks to understand, then we have to keep speaking and decreeing and declaring and continuing to uplift them.
Okay.
Amen. Pastor Red?
Yes. I just want to agree with both pastors, Pastor Archer and Pastor Anthony, because I've had to deal with fear with some of our congregants. And before we did close the church, the Lord had me to really teach about what's to come and also had me to anoint everyone that one Sunday everybody, man, woman, boy, and girl, anoint them. We pleaded the blood of Jesus. I know that's old school for some that never heard that, but we pleaded the blood of Jesus over everyone. We talked about the blood. When you see the blood, you would pass over. We talked about fear, and then the Lord took me even on when I was doing the online teachings. I did a faith over fear 6-week course, faith over fear. I told you I was a word of faith teacher. And I remember one girl specifically, young lady, she's a Caucasian lady, and she was like very, very scared. She wasn't born and raised in a church. She didn't know anything about holy living. She's new. I mean, I validated, like Pastor Archer said, you have to empathize. I validated her fear, but I had to override that fear with the word of God. And I had to teach, and I started teaching the people according to the word, like Pastor Anthony was saying, you know, that these like plagues and famines and pestilence and all these things that we are going through today is not new to the earth. Okay? It's not new to the earth. We just haven't seen it like this in our time. But we have to go to the manuscript, which is the word of God, and go back and deal with it like the word dealt with it and deals with it. And so we taught faith over fear. And it's been so awesome, so blessed. Now, we have not opened up the doors of the church yet, but we had a mass Holy Communion outdoor service under the tents and set up all the equipment outside on the lawn of the church. People could be in a parking lot of the church and all that stuff. And let me tell you, that same Caucasian girl, before Faith Over Fear teaching, she was one of the first ones to come because of the faith that you said, faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing. So then we're going to talk about discipleship, right? You know, typically discipleship, you know, we think that we have to be physically connected for discipleship. But if God allowed this pandemic to hit the earth, there is another type of discipleship. Obviously, he wants to teach us to walk into. Okay, because this, you have to remember now, this is the whole new norm and all things are becoming new. I agree with you, Pastor Anthony. The people that are hungry and thirsty for the word of God, that are being consistent with the teachings and coming on, discipleship is not going to be an issue for them. They're going to want to follow. They're going to want to be, connected. And I've seen that with my own eyes. My wife is here. She's sitting here, and she can tell you, like, even the ones that came in to the church through this are easy to disciple because they are hungry and they are thirsty for the word. So I'm one of those kind of pastors that everybody can have my number in the congregation. Okay? I'm not that kind of pastor that you cannot reach me. No, I'm accessible to everybody. So discipleship goes two ways. It goes from us to them, but they have to want to be discipled. So I'm learning that those that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness and for the word of God, it is very easy. We have a brand new girl, I can call her name, Nettie, that's new. I'm talking about fresh off the streets, fresh off the street, not church girl, not born and raised in the church. You talking about disciple. These people, they get so connected. And it's really the word of God. Like you said, Pastor Anthony, you're a teacher. I believe the other pastor is a teacher because he sounds like he's a great teacher also. And I believe that the teaching of the gospel, the hunger and thirst from the people, I believe God is going to teach us how to turn that into discipleship for this time in this era. And I'm telling you, I believe no man will be lost. No man will be, left behind because of it. You know, it just takes us understanding that things have changed. And I'm not trying to go too deep tonight, but I want to tell you something, people of God. It may not go back to what it was. I'm just here to let you know. It may not go back to what it was. We have to open ourselves up to what God is allowing to happen. We got to do a James 1:5. Keep praying for wisdom. Every day, God, what are you saying? Give me your wisdom for this congregation. Give me your wisdom how to lead. Give me your wisdom for discipleship in 2020, 2021, 22. Show us what to do, you know? And if we really, really avail ourselves to him like that, he is faithful. Watch over his word until he performs his word. And I'm done with
you. Amen.
Yeah, that was so good. Vilma, it's too bad that we ran out of time. Unfortunately, we're going to have to continue this conversation with these awesome pastors next week.
Absolutely. This was great. I love their transparency and I love the information they shared of how they are keeping their congregants engaged. And unfortunately, Pastor Bill Vanderbush was not on today, but we will have him for our upcoming podcast.
Definitely. And we just thank you guys for listening. Once again, this is Life Chat with Vivian Ville. See you next week.
Bye.